Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, it burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
Welcome back to the Sports and Shit Podcast, sponsored by Anchor on the Anchor app, and also sponsored by Lops Brewing in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. It is season 2, episode number 7. You can follow us on Twitter, Sports and Shit Pod. We're also on Instagram, Sports Smitty, and on Facebook as well. And you can email us at sportsandshitpod@gmail.com. It is a Sports and Shit Podcast with Maddie and Smitty. I am Maddie, and my co-host again, season 2, episode 7, Smokes the Lucky Strikes. It's Smitty.
Thank you.
Have Lucky Strikes?
Thank you very much.
We'll cough up a lug.
Yeah, I smoke from my throat. You I have do. one of those holes.
Oh, right, yeah, the trach thing.
I do, I have
you just
that.
Put it right in there and puff.
Yeah.
That's really...
You remember those commercials from where the woman's like,
oh yeah,
you know, talking from
Don't do it like me.
She puts like the whatever like the microphone thing like up to her throat hole.
Yeah, because she had to talk that way.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Oh god, I mean that's bad.
It
I
is.
Mean, that's
I smoked a little bit in my day.
Yeah, you did. You know, you were one of those, you know, smoke when you drank it. You know,
yeah.
Kinda, hey, has anybody got one? You know, one
absolutely.
Of those.
Yeah,
I never did. My
good
father and my sister did for years. And I just hated it so much that I just never, and I don't really like pain, so I don't want to like take in the smoke and cough and have it burn. And I don't know. I just don't, I don't want to do it.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to.
I mean, that shows you how much you do smoke. It doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt?
No. Okay. It doesn't hurt at all.
It doesn't hurt at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I mean, take it a little while to get used to it. So you might cough a little bit when you.
Yeah, I smoke a cigar and I inhale by mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
I cough.
Yeah, that's
no
good.
I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I do like a cigar, though.
Do you?
I do like a cigar. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, not all the time, but I don't like how it makes you smell afterwards and everything.
Right.
But I'll sit out by the campfire or whatever, or by, if I have to camp, then I'll sit out by a fire of some sort. And I'll smoke a cigar at hoop camp when I'm doing basketball camp in the summer with some coaches. Someone has a cigar. I'll smoke it.
Sure.
Smoke them if you got them. You know,
yeah.
I'm that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that. We have Charlie the Presti coming up.
We do.
Chief meteorologist in Portland, Maine, Channel 13 and Fox 23. And he's a Mass guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that at all. He's down from my neck of the woods.
He is. Down in Rainham.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy shit, kind of.
So he really liked that area.
He did.
And he's been up in Portland 15 years at the television stations. We talked some weather.
And we recorded that in the middle of a driving snowstorm.
We did.
So you might be able to tell that
a little bit of sound quality.
Yeah, the audio wasn't right. Super just because we're right. Dealing with a couple tin cans and a string, trying to make it work. But
Charlie is a good guy.
Yeah.
And we had some fun.
We did.
That was good.
It was great.
So we'll check him out. Right now, it is time for the news. And the news is always sponsored by our good buddy, Sean Lopolito at Lops Brewing. And Lops Brewing is a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week and live music every Thursday at 6:30. That won't be Smitty on the skin flute, but they do have some local talent.
They do have local talent, yes.
They do.
I would be arrested.
Yes,
if I performed on the skin flute.
Well, it couldn't be at 6:30. Maybe like after 10.
In the tasting
but
room.
Not in the tasting room,
no.
Especially in the pandemic. I mean, there's a germ thing going on, and no one wants that.
I don't think anybody wants that ever.
Right. It has nothing to do with germs.
No.
And you can use the coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. So go to lopsbrewing.com, and you order the beer, and you buy some, and then you put the code in, SPORTS. And you get 10% off. And then you can follow them also at Lops Brewing for new beers and events coming your way. And it's going to get better. Weather's coming. They have a nice outdoor seating.
Beautiful out there.
Situation.
It's awesome.
And you can sit out there. And we've done that. And
many
you
times.
Know what? On a nice, cool, like spring night to summer night out there, it's nice.
It's and really
drink
nice.
Drink some
Sunset Mimosa.
Yes. So that's good beer. That's really good beer.
It's a great Sunset summertime Mimosa. Outside beer.
It really is.
Sit out there. Enjoy that.
Enjoy the hell out of that. So Lops Brewing is sponsoring our news, and we begin with 80s music videos. How about this? The sexiest music videos of the 80s ranked on Billboard charts and made our imagination go wild. So what do you think, if you think back to the 80s, some of the sexiest music videos you saw as a kid?
I don't know if this was 80s or 90s. I'm going to throw it. I'm pretty sure it was 90s, but I'm going to throw it in anyways because it was, I mean, it was like softcore porn. Was Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Ooh, yes.
Do you remember that video?
I think you're right. That is 90s. But yes, that was pretty much softcore porn.
Yeah. Helena Christensen, I think, was in that with him.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't wait for that video to come on.
Yeah. I and you know what? For me.
You played the skin flute?
Not during Wicked Game.
Oh.
But I'll tell you what. Pleasure Principle came on.
Oh, wow.
With Janet Jackson and the Black Jeans.
Yeah.
Hello.
Any Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, not the Rhythm Nation one, but
no.
Any of those like more, you know, love song, jazzy kind of songs.
Provocative.
Yeah. Like Again or
Again. Yeah.
Escapade.
Yes. Like, Escapade was a good one.
Yeah. She had some great videos.
She did. She really did. And I saw her in concert with Usher.
Really?
When Usher just started. So that My Way album came out and he opened for Janet Jackson at the Boston Garden. Went with, I went with my sister, maybe my cousin Valerie. She listens. She would be able to tell me. We went, I don't know, if this was back when Usher just came out with that album. So he was brand new. It was excellent. And she brought someone up on stage and did the, you know, that song she had where it was a real seductive thing. And he came up on stage, just some random dude.
Wow. And good was, for him. Good for him.
Question. So the top 10 sexiest music videos of the 80s.
Is a Prince song in there?
Prince is there. Kiss.
Yes.
Is there at number 8.
Okay.
In 1986.
Let's see what else we got here. Give me a white snake. Give me a Tawny Kitaen on the hood of the
Jaguar. You know what? It's not on there, and I thought of that immediately. I thought of Warrant.
Oh, Cherry Pie.
Cherry Pie.
Yeah.
And I thought of Tawny Kitaen on the car.
Yeah.
Whatever. And,
nothing,
white
huh?
snake. No. No white snake. 10 was Red Hot Chili Peppers. Catholic School Girls Rule. No
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I've never heard that song nor seen that video.
It was only played on Playboy TV. One of the most sexiest and most controversial music videos ever made.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I didn't have Playboy TV.
I know.
In fact, I don't think I had cable until I was like in college.
Only on Playboy TV?
Yeah, only on Playboy TV, which I didn't even know was a thing. I didn't even know that was a thing. Oh.
Okay.
9, Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Banned by the BBC for the highly sexual lyrics. Then Kiss, by Prince. 7, Like a Prayer, Madonna. She was condemned by the Vatican and religious organizations from all around the world. She was singing in a church, burning crosses. I don't think it's sexy. It was controversial.
Right.
Is all get out.
These are sexy, not controversial. Sexy,
these
right?
are sexiest. 10
yeah,
sexiest.
That's not sexy.
Girls on Film, Duran Duran.
Okay.
One of the few music videos described as pornographic back in the 80s.
Yeah, I remember that one. That one's good.
Yeah. yep. Confirmed. Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 81.
Was that her with the weights?
That was her with the weights.
Yeah.
Yeah, she Love was that. Doing the, you know, the physical
yeah,
thing.
Like,
she had
jazz,
a tight legging.
Jazzercise. Cleavage.
Yes, the jazzercise. She's like Denise Austin. Remember Denise Austin?
Right.
Like a Virgin by Madonna. She
okay,
makes
yes.
list twice.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Me So Horny, Two Live Crew.
Okay.
That was released in 89.
Yeah, I mean, that was sexual, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It didn't really do
bikinis.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really do anything for me.
Girls, 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 Motley Crue.
Okay. Yeah.
Banned by MTV.
Yeah, I remember that video. That was at Crazy Horse or something.
It was. Strippers. It was a nightclub with hot babes.
Right.
And then number 1, I Want Your Sex by George Michael.
See, I thought that was 90s.
That was late. We were in high school. That was.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
That was late 80s.
That was 87.
Yeah.
We were freshmen.
Yeah, that was when Faith came out, right?
Faith.
Yeah, that's off the Faith album.
Yeah, Faith came out right around that time, too.
Yeah.
Right. And then Father Figure and all that.
Yeah.
I remember him playing them at the high school dances.
Yeah, that was a great album, too.
It was a great album. George Michael was fantastic.
He was.
Yeah, so there's your top 10 sexiest music videos of the 80s. You know, on Facebook, I've been doing 30 days of Yacht Rock.
Yes, I've been following along.
So I decided, you know how they have these, like, you know, these different random things that you copy and repost? So I made my own. I was like, 30 days of Yacht Rock. Every single day, a different Yacht Rock song.
Mm-hmm.
We're at, like, day 21 today.
Okay.
So I think after this is over, I'm going 30 days of 80s. And then I'm going to go 30 days of 90s R&B. And then I'm going to go 30 days of 90s alternative rock. And I'm just going to keep going with a different... genres. So check that out.
I love it.
Me on Facebook.
I do follow you on Facebook.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for doing that. I meant to tell you. Thank you. Archaeologists have discovered a massive 5,000-year-old brewery in the ancient Egyptian city of Abydos. I'm hoping that's what it is. According to Egypt's Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities. So they have a beer factory in Egypt, a 5,000-year-old brewery going back that far, 5,000 years.
Lops will be around in 5,000 years.
Yeah, it will. And it'll have a coupon code, sports.
Sports.
If you go online, you know, by then you'll have...
Buy some fucking beer, people.
You'll be able to teleport it, like Alex Beer said. He wants to teleport himself.
Yeah.
Teleport the beer right to your home. 5,000 years
from now. You will absolutely be able to do that.
So 5,000 years ago, they had a brewery in Egypt. You know, Egypt just went up the ladder in my places I want to visit.
Let's visit.
Absolutely. Let's go to, you know, when we go across, after we go across country.
Do you think Cairo is like the Portland of Egypt? Like
right. Brewery capital of
Egypt.
Of Egypt.
Per square mile.
Cairo.
Yeah, Cairo.
I think it's got to be Cairo. Because I really don't know why they have a city.
No, that's why I said Cairo.
Right. So I'm hoping it's Cairo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know, I saw this, actually you do know because I told you earlier, the longest road in America is Route 20 that begins in Kenmore Square in Boston and goes all the way to Oregon.
That's far.
3,300 some odd miles is Route 20.
It's a long way.
It is. It's and I thought we'd just go Route 20. You can go by Yellowstone National Park. I thought in our cross country, we'd just take Route 20. Probably take us a month to do it.
Probably.
Because it's like 25 mile an hour, and it's not like highway.
No.
You know, for much of it, it's residential driving. But you know what? Give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, we want to see the main streets and back roads of the USA.
That's right.
Our very own version of Chronicle.
Yes, the road trip, the Chronicle, the Chronicles of Maddie and Smitty.
Yeah.
On
the road.
Podcast.
Maybe season 3 will be on the road.
Yes, on the road, season 3. Yeah, we need some funding. So if you could go on to Venmo and Venmo us some money.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and do that.
That would be super.
An old man fucks his family out of $5 million by leaving all of his money to his dog. So the dog inherited $5 million in Nashville, Tennessee. The owner died, and in his will said, Rover's getting the $5 million.
Yeah. His family must be
livid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
Wow.
That's kind of a dick move, but I kind of respect it at the same time.
I do.
He's like, fuck you guys. Yeah, you treated me like shit.
Right.
Everybody's glomming onto me, wanting my money. Fuck all y'all.
I hear you. And he's like, you know what? Dog's man's best friend.
Yep.
And my dog is my best friend and none of you bitches.
Right.
So there you go.
My dog liked me and none of you did.
None of you did.
So screw all of you.
Absolutely.
Rover gets it all.
Yeah, $5 million to the dog. Yeah, that's a shrewd move.
So who keeps track of that?
I have no idea. Like, where does it go? Like, you $5 million to the dog, where does it go?
Does it go to like the Humane Society? Or does dog have like a checking account?
I don't even know what would happen there.
Does Rover have an ATM?
Man, does he have a debit card?
Does he use like Apple Pay?
Yeah, I just signed up for the Apple card.
You just strap a smartphone to his back, and he's like,
yeah,
you know,
I'm
just rolls
pay
over
you Venmo.
Onto the onto the pad and pays.
Right, I'm gonna pay for this. Boom, $5 million in my account. You know,
pretty good.
Maybe the family will go to him for a loan. Can we have $5 million, Rover? Major League Baseball tweets out the playoff odds, and one team's chances sits at 0.0%.
I saw this. This is
to make the playoffs. One team will not make the playoffs. It's a 0.0% chance.
Can you imagine being this team and going into the season and looking at something like that, yeah, and then being like, you don't have a chance.
Zero chance.
Like, before the season starts, not even a 0.1% chance.
None.
0.0.
Blutarski.
The Baltimore Orioles, yes, have received the Blutarski.
They have received the Blutarski from Animal House. A 0.0.
Fat, drunk, and stupid.
It's no way to go through life.
No, it is not.
0.1% of the Colorado Rockies. So they just got in under the wire. They have a 0.1% chance.
Well, when you trade your franchise player.
Yes. Nolan Arenado.
Right.
Gone.
You deserve that.
You do. 0.4 for the Pirates. 0.7 for the Brew Crew. Brewers. 0.8 for the Texas Rangers.
I mean, it happened to the Red Sox last year. They traded their franchise player last year.
Yeah.
And they were fucking terrible.
Terrible. 24
That's what
wins.
You get when, right, you trade one of your franchise cornerstones.
Yeah.
You end up with nothing.
And the Red Sox coming in at 47%, which I thought was kind of high.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it was a little high. I mean, they were terrible last year.
They
made some changes and some additions, and they should be better. I mean, they'll have 5 starting pitchers, so that's a good start. 47% seemed high. I mean, the Yankees are at 91%. Then the Blue Jays are at 53.9%. Tampa Bay dropped all the way to 18%. They went to the World Series.
Well, they traded Snell, so, you know, their offense was never very good.
No, it wasn't.
And their pitching, I think that they think it will come back to earth.
Yeah.
But if I was to tell you that the Red Sox led the American League, or possibly all of baseball, in hitting last year, would you have believed me?
No.
They did.
They did.
They had the highest average.
Really?
Yeah.
In all of baseball?
I believe in all of baseball.
Wow.
I read this today. So basically, their offense was pretty good.
Wow.
Last year. But their pitching was so bad
yeah,
that it brought everything else down.
Wow.
So I think they have an outside shot of being decent. Like, I think they're going to sneak in.
Yeah, Alex Pierce had 83 wins, and I think it's probably more like 86, 87.
I think they're going to sneak in to the playoffs.
So?
I do.
Because they do have the extra wild card, right? Are they still doing that or no?
I think they are doing it.
I think
it.
They are.
Yeah.
So maybe.
I think they're going to sneak in.
Yeah.
I think they're going to surprise some people and sneak in.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see for sure. A Ukrainian man lied to the police and told them he murdered someone so they would plow his road in order to arrest him. You know, I'll tell you, you don't like snow.
I hate it.
Yeah, you hate it.
And I like to ski. I just don't like to take care of it.
Right. So you don't like to take care of it.
Would I do that?
Yes.
I wouldn't go that far.
No.
That's a little extreme.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little bit over
it
the
is.
Edge.
Because
just a little bit, though. I might say I severely wounded someone.
Right. Someone is bleeding to death in my living room. Can you plow the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Or you know, like, my wife's pregnant.
Right.
Can you plow the street?
Right.
Or my house is on fire. Right. Can you plow the street?
See, my parents, what they actually did was, my mother got pregnant and had my sister during the blizzard of 78, so they would come down to police cruiser and take her to the hospital during
so
that
you,
whole
so you kind of, you guys kind of did this.
Yeah.
Your family
blizzard.
Did it.
We did. We said, you know what? We looked at the Farmer's Almanac and said, you know what? Blizzard in February. So let's get this going. And then, you know,
we'll plant our corn.
Plant the seeds.
And,
so
and then we'll
yeah.
plant the seeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll plant some green beans,
right,
and some pea pods.
Right.
And then we'll go.
Right.
We'll go to the hospital.
Yeah. So then she was taken by police cruiser to the hospital. And then my sister was born. And I cried that day because I wanted a brother. So
did your parents
goes.
Have a brother's name picked out?
Michael. Michael was the brother's name. My father wanted my sister's name to be either Marlene or Gwendolyn, and then settled on Stacia because he was a Candlepin Bowling fan, and Stacia Zernike is probably widely known in Boston area, in New England, as the greatest female Candlepin bowler ever. And Stacia Zernike, so he named her after Stacia Zernike.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how she got the name Stacia, which was very unique then.
It still
There's
is.
There's more Stacias now.
Is there really?
Yeah, there are. Every once in a while you see a Stacia. Like, one time I saw one on a game show. Or,
really?
You know, but the way it's spelled,
I've never seen another
STACIA. It's different.
So. I've never seen another one.
A man put a ring on his junk to prep for Valentine's Day and needed emergency surgery to remove it. Let me ask you this. What ring size would you need to even remotely get it on there? I mean, your wife's ring size is probably, what, 6, you know, 5, 6, 7. That's nowhere near going to get on your penis. It's just not going to get on it. It's just not.
No. Nope.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say I have no idea ring sizes.
You know,
none.
It's like in that, you know, that's
when you said that, I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah. I honestly have no idea.
I don't really know right now what my ring size is. I think it's like 8 or 9, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Ring size doesn't matter. I mean, it isn't an indication of anything else. Okay.
By the way, this is a little foreshadowing for my missed connection that's coming up later.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. You know that shoe size, and this is foreshadowing as well. Shoe size, actually, I've heard that the smaller the number of foot size, the bigger the endowment. And not, I don't mean college endowment. I mean the bigger the endowment.
You don't mean like Boston University?
No, I don't think. Yeah, like they have $2.7
trillion right, in their endowment.
No, I don't know. I mean,
you mean
the smaller the shoe size,
the
larger indicator.
The larger the package.
Yeah. So what size shoe are you?
I am a 9.5.
Yeah, I'm a 3. So there you have it. But yeah, this gentleman put a ring on his junk to prepare for Valentine's Day. I mean, it was a lovely thought. He grabbed a steel nut out of his toolbox.
A nut?
Yeah, he said he heard that rings could help make things bigger and stronger down there. I think what he was looking for was a
cock ring.
Yeah. And not an actual ring. You asshole. And so that's what happened.
Yeah.
The nut got stuck. And by Saturday afternoon, when things down there were painful and swollen, he was rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. The doctors were able to cut off the nut with a power tool.
He cut off his nut?
No, the nut. I guess the nut. You know, you put it on it with I guess he had a nut, steel nut out of his toolbox, and he put the ring on it, kind of like to get the thing on there, maybe. I don't know. It says
I can't picture this at all, and yeah. I'm not sure I want
right.
to.
And they had some serious skills because they got the nut off. So to speak, without even nicking the guy's junk.
Kudos to the surgeons.
Yeah, absolutely.
The United Steel right. Workers of America. Right. Whoever the hell was working on that.
Would you have to call them, I think?
I think he would. Oh, I mean, that sounds like something that a union would need to take care of instead of maybe, you know, a medical professional.
I mean, whenever you can get a nut off without... without any type of injury is a good day.
When you're getting your nut off, you certainly don't want to be injured.
No.
You certainly don't.
That just misses the point. Dr. Dre's estranged wife wants him to stop letting his side chicks wear her clothes. Here's the thing. If she's estranged, why didn't she bring her clothes with her? She probably has 3 closets full of clothes.
Probably more than that.
I mean, even more than that.
Probably three rooms full of clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
And she probably couldn't take it all, but he's actually letting...
I mean, I'm with her on this. I don't want to share my fucking clothes with people.
You know what? I don't know if I had an estranged wife and I was dating someone new. I don't want them in those clothes.
No.
Why?
Bad memories.
Why are they wearing the clothes, too?
I mean, it's probably because they're
$5,000 dresses.
Yeah, I mean... For him, I mean, God knows. She probably has so much stuff. He's probably never seen those clothes before. So he doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. But I think that, I don't know, it's just sort of a weird thing. I don't even know why the person would want to wear them, to be honest with you. So we're talking weather later with Charlie DePresti. Here's a tidbit. 73% of the U.S. right now is covered in snow, the most widespread coverage in 17 years.
We should have brought this up with Charlie.
We should have.
We didn't.
But 73% is actually, maybe when I tweet out to him and I tag him on this, I will mention that.
That seems high.
It does seem high. In 17 years,
I mean, Texas is covered in ice, so I mean, I guess anything's possible.
Well, that's very true, and they're having a bitch of a time.
They are.
They really are. I mean, they have no resources, no salt. I mean, we get 6 inches in Maine. It's nothing. And sometimes we have school with 4 or 6 inches,
right,
depending on you know, how it is. But snow on the ground, 73.2% of the lower 48 states on February the 16th. Snowfalls deep into the south played a big role, as you said. There you go. You were right on it.
Yeah.
Hard-hitting analysis.
Deep into it.
Deep. The sun is expected to consume Earth in 7.5 billion short years. So you got to prepare for this now. Jesus, we're just getting through the pandemic. Now
I know.
Prepare for the sun consuming us.
You know what? I think we should just not give a fuck.
No, you know what? I want to just live my life.
Just live my life.
Not worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're all going to die eventually. So
yeah, we are.
Let's just live.
Yeah. Just, you know what? 7.5 billion years is still a long way away with advancements
coming up
in medicine. And
7.5 billion
and all
years.
All that type of stuff. Yeah, 7.5 billion
that's,
years.
That's consumes the earth.
Consumes it.
Yeah, that's
that just
be,
burns it down, right?
That's going to be a bad day.
Is that what it means? Is that what it means? Like it just burns it.
I think we're getting closer to the sun all
we
the time
are.
Or something.
We are.
The orbit is getting closer and closer every year.
I'm going to pretty much guarantee you that the earth will not last before the sun consumes it.
So you think we're dead before then?
We're dead. Not we, because we'll be dead before it by our own situation. But the people... Humans,
so we're going to be extinct
will be gone
before
7.5 billion years.
All right,
without a doubt. I mean, so, without it, really, without a doubt.
So now we really don't have anything to fucking worry about.
No, we don't. I can't worry about this shit right now.
Yeah,
you know, I got
let's
too
just,
much going on.
Let's just live.
Let's just live and let live. Isn't that what the song was?
It was
live and let live, live and let die.
Well, I mean, it is live
too.
And let die.
That too. Yeah. So there's your news, sponsored by Lops Brewing. We will come back with Charlie Lopresti. We'll talk some weather with the chief meteorologist. He is a super good guy and a great meteorologist and always has wanted to be one too, as he will tell us in the interview. And we will have Charlie right after this.
Our special guest this week is chief meteorologist from Channel 13 and Fox 23 in Portland, Maine. The great Charlie Lopresti joins us today. Charlie, awesome to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Looking forward to hanging out and chat with you guys this evening on this snowy mid to late February evening here.
We're really happy to have you. What I really wanted to know is, you know, there's always been the stigma of the meteorologists, you know, they're never right, the weatherman's never right, and all of that. And I don't believe that that's true anymore. I think that the forecasts are pretty largely accurate. So I just wanted to know how your job is different in the 15 years you've been doing, you know, in Portland. Has it differed? Has it gotten a little bit easier? Is it more accurate? How is it different?
And there's so many things that are different. I don't think it's gotten any easier. If anything, Mother Nature keeps you humbled living in Maine.
That's right.
Forecast for New Hampshire and Maine. It's a unique area in the world to forecast for. I mean, nowhere else in the world does the weather get this unique, where you get these four different seasons. You can get to 100 degrees in summer, it gets down to zero in winter. You get a hurricane, tornado, a blizzard. You can get all that in 1 year sometimes. So keeps it challenging. But over the years, I think it's changed because forecasting has become better overall. As far as the accuracy goes, I mean, I can remember times when I was a young kid just getting interested in meteorology, and you'd be waiting for that foot of snow. And how many times, you guys might remember this, right? Maybe back in the 90s or something, you'd open up your shade in the morning and think, okay, there's going to be no school today. You know what happens? You got an inch of rain instead of a foot of snow. Stuff does happen a little bit here and there, but not nearly as much as it used to. And I think the reason that has changed so much over the years has to do with faster computers. When it comes down to it, computers are faster and forecast modeling has become that much better. Even just understanding of the science has become a lot better in meteorology. But as far as another real change, one thing I've noticed is, you know, when I started in this profession about 20 years ago, meteorologists were the only people that had access to that sort of information. Now with the, you know, World Wide Web, anybody can get on the computer and be an amateur forecaster, which I think is great. That also makes everybody very connected, and it's really easy for forecasts to get lost sometimes or overblown or overhyped or that kind of thing. So yeah, before, a long time ago, it was just television giving the forecast, and now we're doing it on computers and apps, and which is all great. It's a great way to get the information out, and I love to see how it changes, and I'm really curious to see how it's going to change over the next 10 years.
I'm getting up there in age a little bit, And I was wondering if there's anywhere in the world that I could retire without being killed by a natural disaster.
Good one. The best place to live weather-wise is San Diego in the United States. Meteorologists that live in San Diego, I have no idea what they do. I would say San Diego. I mean, but then you also have...
you have earthquakes, right?
Yeah, so I'm thinking weather.
That's probably the nicest weather most of the time, though, right? That's your best bet, probably, like if you're going to play the market or whatever, play the stats of it.
Natural disaster. That's a good one. I don't know. New England, we're so overdue for a hurricane. We haven't had a major hurricane since 1954, guys. So especially, you know, southeastern Mass, where you are. That place is going to get lit up one of these days with like a hurricane.
That was going to be one of my questions. Smitty is really concerned about a tsunami coming through his backyard. Yeah. So I don't want that to happen.
I don't have a good answer to that. Where to go? We won't have a natural disaster. I feel like anywhere you go, something's going to happen.
Now, I will say that, and I kid you not, my next question was, if you were a meteorologist in San Diego, what would you do all day? I swear to God, it's on the list.
It is on the list.
And when he said that, I laughed. That is funny.
Even in Florida, though, I mean, they forecast hurricanes in Florida. But I have some friends that work down there, and what's going to happen there, right? I mean, you have similar temperatures most days, and then you get that pop-up afternoon thunderstorm, and then it's nice again, right? I don't think that the rest of the world understands the challenges that we have here in New England as far as weather goes. And not just forecasting the weather, but just experiencing and living the weather. I mean, we're a pretty resilient group up here. You see what's happening in Texas right now.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people from New England saying, oh my goodness, you know, I know you've made it a few nights without power, but here in Maine and New Hampshire and Massachusetts, Vermont, I mean, that's what we call that Thursday, Friday. So.
I mean, there was the ice storm in 98 and I wasn't here. I moved in 2002 back to Maine. But there was that ice storm that was several, for some people, weeks without power. So that was sort of a disaster back then. Do you have any memories of that back at that time?
Yeah, I was in Maine for the ice storm in 98. I was actually in college at the time at Plymouth State and actually skiing at Sugarloaf for the week with a group of buddies. And I remember trying to drive home. It was like a natural disaster area in Maine. And a lot of folks tell stories of, you know, being without power for 3-4 weeks. And I don't know, made it through though. CMP had to rebuild their infrastructure after that. I mean, that's, you know, those five days straight of freezing drizzle. And that's all it was. All that ice accumulating on all the tree limbs and the power lines. I remember we couldn't get gas anywhere. It was a disaster. Yeah, 98, that's the one that everybody remembers for sure.
Yeah, they do. Were you a science kid? Did you know you wanted to get into meteorology?
I guess I was kind of a geeky kid, but I still like sports and stuff like that. But I always had a curiosity of, you know, why things happened, you know, why the big thunderstorm. Or I remember like building a snowman as a little kid and going, you know, hey, why did my snowman melt? I was pretty upset about it, but I've had this weird curiosity of why things happen. So I've tried to learn more about it. I guess when I was in high school and college, I worked on a farm in southeastern Mass and I enjoyed that job a lot, learned how to grow things and stuff. But at the same time, you know, you're sitting on a field, you know, 80 acres wide and you see a thunderstorm rolling across, you're saying, wow, that's pretty special. So I remember that being a pivotal point. And also, Hurricane Bob came through our area in 1991. I remember Hurricane Gloria in the mid 80s, and it was just curiosity more than anything. So I always had this idea that I wanted to be a meteorologist and decided to go to college for it. And somehow they let me come back every day, but it's awesome. Been fun.
Have you ever had any embarrassing moments on TV where you like point to the wrong state or, you know, something like that? Like Matt doesn't know the difference between Alabama and Mississippi. Like, like a problem like that where you're saying, oh, you know, the weather's coming up from here and you say the wrong thing. Have you ever had anything like that?
There's so many weird things that happen. I mean, that's the thing about live television. And a lot of people think that meteorologists are reading a script and we're not. We're talking off the top of our heads, which I think is a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing because what if something, you know, crazy come up and then it's just all of a sudden, I can't believe I just said that. So, so that happens every now and then. One time I was so tired, I was working in Providence and I remember calling the main anchor by his last name, like 3 times. And cause I just always called, you know, guys talk to each other by their last name a lot. I called him his last 3 times. I couldn't figure out in my brain, like what I was doing wrong, but they're all laughing at me. There've been a few times where I haven't been feeling well. I think that's the worst thing about live television when you're not feeling well, like say you got like a stomach bug or, you know, I have kids in school. So, you know, prior to the pandemic, you know, I did come down with some stomach bug or something once every few years. If you're sick, And, you know, one time my face was turning green. They told me I had to end my weather forecast early just to make sure I got off camera. That was one that was a real close call. But yeah, live television, all sorts of weird stuff happens sometimes. Oh, a light blew on me once. One of those old lights in the studio. It cuts of like some wax paper that was over like a film on fire. And then there's fire dripping down. There's like of this plastic on fire dripping down. That was another interesting thing. But I don't know. I've been fortunate. I don't think I've had anything too crazy. I've had to do live shots with donkeys and goats and stuff. So you never know what's going to happen. I guess it's live television, local news, you know?
Yeah. Now, I've always wondered this. Why do we need a reporter on the side of the road when it's snowing to tell us it's snowing?
Oh, thank you so much. yeah, it's here's the deal. I think for big storms, and we're talking big storm systems, I think that's kind of thing is important just to let people know what's happening out there. Not every storm we handled tonight. We're recording this on a Thursday night, Friday night, but it's we're getting this, you know, quick 1 to 3, you know, some areas down south 3 to 5, whatever. And I was like the third story, and I don't even think I had a first weather hit in the first block tonight. So yeah, I guess that's good. You know, Mainers take stuff with a grain of salt, I think. But I think that weather, a lot of people watch local news these days. I've been told anyway to get a weather forecast. So some of the people that make these decisions suggest that, hey, let's put weather up front. And I feel I'm happy to be part of it, to be out in front of the road and on the road. And they're like, hey, I urge folks to stay indoors, when in reality is we have 2 inches of snow that have melted on the pavement. That might be doing a little bit of a disservice to the people. To some of the reporters' defense, these people are journalists and they work on real stories. And I feel bad when like, oh, they're stuck on weather tonight. So they're like, yep, it's still snowing outside. So, you know, right. It's hard for them too. But I think that's just what you do in local news if you live in New England, I guess. I don't know.
I guess that's an interesting point about weather and local news. I wonder if that's really what drives people to really watch it anymore. Because you can get news from so many sources that it's really the weather probably that they're tuning into, other than the old people that watch the news all the time.
I know that they've run, you know, they've run polls and, you know, they try to gauge what the viewers want to watch. And I think a lot of people just check off the box. Hey, we watch it for weather. And, you know, we like to see what's happening for local weather. And I get that because the apps are great. I mean, you probably have an app on your phone. You go on your app and figure out what the weather's going to be. That's a computer model that's giving you a guesstimate what's going to happen. But if you need somebody to tell you actually how it's going to go down, you probably got to listen to, you know, either somebody on a podcast or local forecasts on your phone or on local news. So at least I hope that's what folks are doing still. You never know.
Right. All right. So Charlie has been so gracious to, and he's very excited to do our 5 questions to 2 assholes. So Smitty and I will ask him 5 random questions. This is the highlight of your week, without a doubt. All right. So question number 1 will be, what is your favorite type of weather?
Easy. Winter storms. I like snowstorms.
Question number 2. Favorite weather-related drink? Hurricane or dark and stormy or something else?
Oh, wow. I don't know that one. I don't know if I've ever had a weather-related drink.
You're just a beer guy?
I do enjoy a good beer. Is any good weather-related beers, though? Are there?
Well, the dark and stormy it's like a dark rum and then a ginger beer. Maybe that's up your alley then.
Yeah, my friend Brian drinks those sometimes. I have had one of those. Not much fun with my mixed drinks. I do enjoy a good cold beer, though. And maybe some of the local breweries need to start naming their beers after storms.
Or, there you go.
Well, I think there should definitely be a Charlotte Presti beer. No, it hasn't happened. But but you're in the right city for beer in Portland, obviously. Question number 3, name a song that describes your life.
Oh, a song. Oh, gosh. I'll go Hive with Pearl Jam. How's that?
That's a good one. I like that.
So who would be on your playlist? Like, who would the playlist be dominated by? Who's your go-to group or musician?
Easy. That's I love Pearl Jam. They're my favorite band, hands down. That's the reason that one just came to the top of my head. Right. I grew up in the 90s, so I don't know. I enjoyed Pearl Jam. I like Beastie Boys a long time ago quite a bit. We actually were listening to them in the car today. I have a special place in my heart for Phish and Trey Anastasio Band. Still, I guess I'm kind of boring. I don't know.
That's all good stuff.
No, that's all real good. Pearl Jam, I feel like that fan base is as passionate. Like, I feel like if you like Pearl Jam, you love Pearl Jam. I feel like everybody I know who likes Pearl Jam loves them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of what happened. So my wife and I became members of their 10 club back in like the late 90s. And the deal is when you have a low number and you re-up your subscription every year, you know, you get first dibs at tickets whenever they come around. So we always try to make a point to go around. We were supposed to go see them last March up in Quebec City. And of course, the pandemic canceled it. So, or they postponed it. Apparently, it's still on. But
Smitty and I are locked into Black Crows in July. Hopefully, we have our fingers crossed.
It was supposed to be last July, but same thing. It got postponed because of the pandemic. Yeah, they were playing the Shake Your Money Maker.
Yeah.
It was like an anniversary of that. Thing. So they were playing the whole thing like front to back or whatever.
You're in the perfect spot, Tyler, right? I mean, there's what do they call Great Woods now? Is that the, like the, what do they
call it? I still call it Great Woods. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's Xfinity.
I think it might. They've changed it a few times. I'm not sure. So you can't go wrong with just calling it Great Woods.
Yeah. All right. Everybody knows what we're talking about. But yeah, there's so many bands that came through there over the years. And that's like a great spot just to be around.
It is. So question number four, if you could visit any place in the world to see, examine the weather, where would it be? Where would you go?
See or examine the weather? I'd love to go to South Pole. I've always had this dream to go down there and spend a year down there. Almost did. I came really close once, but I decided to get married instead. Before I got into television, I worked at the summit of Mount Washington Observatory. So I lived up there worked up there for about 3 years, you know, days on, 6 days off. And that's kind of a breeding ground for folks that go work at South Pole Station. A lot of the people that I worked with ended up going to South Pole, and I thought about going, and I tried to convince my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, to go with us, and she could cook for the group, and I do the weather, and she didn't really go along very much. So I kind of have your dream of going, and I have a lot of friends that I live vicariously through them that are, you know, still work down there. I have a friend in Maine here that actually just got back a few weeks ago from spending a year at South Pole. So I don't know. I think it'd be cool to experience what, you know, it'd be like to, you know, be 100 degrees below zero and, I don't know, be in that weird isolation. I don't know. There's something that's appealing to me about that. Maybe it's the extreme. Yeah, I'd love to check that out at some point.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds cool.
A place where it snows a lot would be really cool. Like experience a real big snowstorm. I think that would be fun. That would be the other thing. If it snows a lot, you better be able to ski in it.
That's right. Now, I wanted to ask this. What is your feeling? Because Smitty and I hate this. What is your feeling on daylight savings? Should that be done or what are we doing?
I have no problem just sticking on standard time. I mean, we go back to daylight savings. That's probably what, less than a month from now, right?
Yeah, spring ahead will be, yeah.
And it screwed me up too, because the rest of the world stays on a normal universal time. And one of the things that I rely on heavily are looking at computer maps and forecast models and that kind of thing. So when we go back to daylight saving time, I get all that information an hour later than I would get on standard time. Originally, it was to save energy. I don't know if that's...
Was it farming?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's sort of a waste. Question number five, what is your favorite dessert?
Oh, anything chocolate. Yeah. No, I'm going to rewind on that. I have a special place in my heart for chocolate, but I love most pies as well. I don't know my favorite pie, but I'd say apple pie or blueberry pie. Oh, man, you just asked my favorite. I just gave you three things, so that doesn't matter.
Hey, you know, I'm a huge dessert guy, too.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I like a lemon meringue pie. I like a really good lemon meringue pie with a good lemon filling. Well, Charlie, this has been fun, and we look forward to it. I look forward to getting your forecast reports more toward the spring, obviously, but because I'm dying for spring. But we appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, you're not the only one, I think, looking forward to spring. A lot of folks are calling, saying, hey, get me out of winter. Hey, this has been a real pleasure, guys. Thanks for inviting me on your show, and I appreciate it, and I hope you know, the weather works out for you guys in the coming weeks here. And, you know, we finally get some spring weather coming.
And special thanks again to Charlie Lopresti, chief meteorologist at Channel 13, Fox 23 in Portland, Maine, for hanging out with us. We really enjoyed talking with Charlie and look forward to his updates as it become closer to spring, because I don't like the winter ones. So there you go. But he keeps us abreast of the situation.
Certainly does.
And we appreciate Charlie's efforts all the time. Right now, it is time for Missed Connections. All I see is missed opportunity. And this one is titled 12:51 a.m. or p.m. Maybe p.m. Sometimes I look at myself walking in store windows just to see if you'd recognize me if I happened to walk by, and I don't think that you would. Not in a big dramatic, oh, they've forgotten me way, but in a way that makes me quietly sad. The last time I saw you, it was still warm at night, and now we're wearing winter clothes, and our hair is hidden under hats, and we walk faster to get back inside where it's warm. I thought I saw you the other day, and I almost didn't recognize you because you were wearing a new coat. I used to know all of your coats. I'd see them every day hanging by the door. I'd worn some of them on the days when I'd worn some of them on the days when I had forgotten mine at home. And after I saw you, I thought about you sitting on your couch trying to decide which new coat to get, and it made me quietly sad again. Sometimes I think it would be easier if I didn't feel like I saw you every time I left my house.
Sometimes you think it would be easier if the sun would just swallow the earth.
I think this person's hoping for earlier than 7.5 billion years. It would be easier if every new winter coat didn't have the potential to be you. But instead, I look at every face hoping, and not hoping, that this is the one you chose as you sat on your couch. What a sad individual.
What the fuck were they talking about?
What are they doing?
I have any idea what they were talking. That's like the Great American Novel.
It was.
That was J.D. Salinger. That's Catcher in the Rye.
It is. I don't know what they're talking about.
I have no idea what they're talking
right.
about.
That's some Edgar Allan Poe shit right there. I don't know what it means. How? What? So, so you analyzed, first of all.
You're just dumbfounded.
Stalker much?
Oh, yeah.
This person analyzed their coats as they were together with them. This is why they're not together anymore.
Right.
I mean, let's get the point here.
Hey, buddy, you put a little too much emphasis on the coats.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, every coat you look at, it just makes me quietly sad again. That post made me quietly sad. It did. It made me openly sad.
That post made me squeal with glee.
It did. Run, Tom. Run like the wind.
Seriously.
I mean, my God. Oh, God.
All right. All I see is missed opportunity. Here is my missed connections.
All right.
And I'm not going to give you the title just yet.
Okay.
We met in a massage studio near Union Square in New York City a few years ago. You let me play with your feet. You moved to Boston shortly after. I'm visiting Boston this weekend and was hoping to get back in touch with you. I'm a 29-year-old male, 6'2", 180. Let me know if you see this. So, a few years ago, Union Square, kind of a big place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good luck.
Yeah.
But the title is Bi Married Guy with Shoe Size 13.
Oh, no. What a letdown.
So, I mean,
you know what that means.
He's got to have a micro, right?
He's got the pea pod.
He's got a microphallus.
He's got the micro. Yeah, 13. That's too bad.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, that's too bad. That is a missed connection for sure.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, really.
It is really unfortunate.
For all parties
so
involved.
So he's a foot guy.
He's a foot guy, yeah.
Do you like feet?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
You?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they can't be, you know, they can't be boomerang. I mean, they can't be, you know, they can't be all jacked up. Yeah, but.
So you like a nice foot?
I like a nice foot, manicured, nice foot, cute toes, toenails, that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I like that. You know, in the summer, you got your flip flops on or whatever, and you got the cute toes and the tan feet.
Sure.
I mean, I can dig it.
I'm down with that. I don't know.
You know, not, you know.
Maybe
not,
I'm more of a foot guy than I thought.
Yeah, but. I mean, yeah. I guess it's not 100%. Like, not just any old foot.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it's not just some old guy, you know, or whatever.
Or not a guy at all.
No.
In my case.
Nothing to do with his feet at all. But yeah, so I do not. So this is another stellar episode of the Sportsmanship Podcast where you've learned so much about us.
We have.
My size 3 shoe.
We've learned about the weather.
Properties of weather.
We learned we're all going to die in 7.5 billion years.
7.5. We learned that it's not only is it depressing, but it's 73% of the earth right now is covered by snow.
I think just the United States.
Oh, this United States. Well, that's, I mean, in my world, that's that's all the earth because I haven't been anywhere else.
All right.
So 73% of the United States is covered by snow.
So
73%.
Maybe...
That's a lot. It's a lot. Three quarter.
It is.
It is.
I was just thinking of a Can't Hardly Wait quote, and I'm just going to skip it.
Oh, you're going to skip that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you probably should because I think I know the quote you're thinking of.
92%.
92%. Seth Green. He was classic in that.
I'll say movie. It. 92% of honeys at UCLA are sexually active.
92%. Well, on that note, thanks again to Charlie Lopresti, and we will be back again next week with all sorts of tomfoolery and chicanery. Maybe both those gentlemen.
Maybe a little music.
Maybe some music next week. Let's have a music guest. Got something planned.
Sounds good.
Yeah, got something planned. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right. Darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.